Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy therefore to be cast away from your presence if you should judge us according to our sins. But you have promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all repentant sinners who turn to you and with a living faith seek refuge in your fatherly compassion and in the merits of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our transgressions you will not regard nor count them against us. Relying upon your promise, we confidently pray that you would be merciful and gracious to us and forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. On Sunday mornings, we like to have a confession of faith, and we'll share the Nicene Creed with you this morning. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The vast majority of Americans come from families whose forefathers immigrated to the United States in the last couple hundred years. In some families, the exploits of those first family settlers have been preserved in stories that are told about fathers and mothers, grandparents, great-grandpas and great-grandmas, and the like. We like to remember our roots, where we came from, and how we got to where we are today. The Apostle Paul was writing to Jewish people and the Gentile people in a letter to the Corinthians. He recalled the story of how the people of Israel became a nation, but he says something really profound when we think about today. Don't think that you can stand on the shoulders of those who did significant things in the past, because the past is filled with errors and problems. These people from the past had their troubles. That's what we can learn from. Listen to this letter, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 13. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. St. Paul is saying that those ancient Jewish people all went through the same experiences. They all left Egypt together. They were all in the wilderness together. They all walked through the Red Sea together. They all ate the same manna in the wilderness together. They all received the same water in the desert together. They all received from the same resource, Jehovah God, the rock of their salvation. And that rock was Jesus Christ, God made flesh, or as we learn in the New Testament, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's Jesus. In our case, we look at our immigrant forefathers. We understand that we are where we are because of God's graciousness to our forefathers. We have been blessed by God's activities with our spiritual forebearers. Paul doesn't stop here with his history lesson. He continues with these words. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered dead in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. God was pleased with some of these people in the wilderness of Sinai, but God was displeased with most of them. Here's why. Some of them lusted after evil. They wanted to do things that God opposed regardless of whether God wanted those things. Some of them followed other gods, not Jehovah God, who had led them out of their bondage in Egypt. Indeed, some of them mixed their idolatry with orgy and sexual debauchery. God punished that in those times. When you cross the line with God, you suffer the consequences of your actions. Things have not changed much in 3,500 years since the Exodus, have they? But then Paul writes this. They tempted Christ. They complained even though they were blessed. God made visible, that's Jesus Christ, is not to be tempted, nor are we to complain when God brings blessings through His creation for us. Such an attitude destroys. In our day, we can all recall people who have been thankless in the midst of God's abundance. That's the kind of attitude Paul is talking about here. Yes, people were thankless in those ancient days, but we have the same complaints and thankless attitudes today. Paul explains that these things happened. There was punishment for the evil in those days. Then he writes this in that letter to those Corinthians. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Paul is talking to us as well as those people of the early church in Corinth. He says this, we are living in the last days, the end of the age. We need to focus on God and His desires for humankind as revealed through the law, through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. But then he says, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. We can learn about what God desires by looking at the history of the Jewish people there in the wilderness 3,500 years ago. Don't get cocky because God has brought joy into your life. Remain focused on what God desires in your life. Paul says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. A lot of the time in life, we feel that we have no direction. We look for leading from our Heavenly Father. We pray to the Lord Jesus, or we look to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to provide that direction. Paul explains, we need to look at the past to see how God would desire that we live. It is a mistake to conclude that our circumstances, our temptations, and our problems are a special situation. Paul writes now, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God wants us to know, my friends, that we do not have to cave in to the works of Satan. We have a faithful account of failures and successes of the past preserved in the Holy Bible. When mankind failed, when the time was ready for the fulfillment of God's promises, that's when God sent Jesus. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the Bible explains that the Father and the Son together sent the Holy Spirit to proclaim God's faithfulness. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Paul assures us we can look to God for help in our struggles with the evil one. As we end our time together, let us join in the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at historic Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on his people to worship him and share his word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104. We worship each Sunday at 10 a.m. with a traditional Lutheran service. Zion is located one block south of State Highway 104 near the historical Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Do you want additional information about our Lutheran fellowship? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209. God bless you. Have a good day.